Wine with Cassie and Henry.
Hello. Welcome to the Butler's podcast.
You always say the.
Is that bad?
No.
What are the rules then? You're just Butler's.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes. We have a Butler's wine cellar based in Brighton.
The Butler's.
Well, we are, and we have been mistaken for other butlers this week, haven't we?
Well, yeah, it happens quite a lot. Yeah, it's quite annoying.
You nearly swore, didn't you? when people are complaining online about...
About a restaurant experience. A restaurant experience. Well, I don't know where they thought that was, but we got a one-star review for a restaurant that we've no idea where it is or what it is, but... They didn't seem to like it because they were sat near the toilet.
Yeah, and they had cold steak near the toilet and weren't allowed to move.
Which, not our problem, unfortunately.
We would have moved them and given them warm steak.
Yeah, and a better experience.
But luckily we've got a one-star review, so that's great.
And it's not, and we do not have a restaurant, just to be clear. We're just a wine merchant.
Yeah.
A really good one.
Just my beef.
Anyway, yes.
Talking of beef.
This month, we thought we would talk about some seasonal food and drink pairings because the weather is finally on the turn, it looks like. It's kind of like gale force winds outside today and lots of rain. And people's drinking habits and buying habits definitely change once the sun's gone in.
Yes, so I guess that people aren't looking outside at the weather in our part of the UK. People aren't going to be sitting outside, are they?
They're not drinking rosé anymore.
No alfresco at the moment. I thought we were getting more heat, more sun.
Well, who knows? I don't know where people get this from. We should have seasons. Global warming's not good.
For sure. So, and we find that people will go moving to from, they'll move away from maybe sort of Pinot Grigio, Sauvignon Blanc, crisper styles of white wine into richer, more buttery sort of, I don't know, more hearty white wines, and certainly with the reds, they're moving into weightier reds, aren't they? I think
even
with
some
this cooler
port.
Weather.
Yes, yeah, and it and they do work with the seasonal foods as well, so there is some sort of logic to it.
Yes, and on that, can I sort of interject? I know you've got a plan, but
Luke's plan.
Well, I put in some research this week and went to London for a very nice luncheon.
Oh, here we go.
To
someone who apparently never goes to London.
Study.
Oh, yeah.
Autumnal wines matched with autumnal foods. And so if I can just report back, I was very kindly invited to a special anniversary lunch with Barbato Madeira. And I was just thinking, as you said, fortified wines. Madeira wines are very underrated. They are... tend to be only bought around Christmas time, which is a shame, but they're super versatile. We had Madeira throughout the meal from start to finish, going from dry to medium sweet to sweet. And the last one, the 50-year-old, had some wine in there that's over 100 years old because it was a blended wine. But they were excellent, and they were matched with squash, sort of root vegetables with autumnal fruit. I know you don't like fruit and savoury on the same plate.
No, I do not.
Fallow deer from Sussex.
I don't eat meat either.
And I think some mushroom action as well, and some hard cheese. And they were great.
I don't have dairy. It wasn't the lunch for me.
Well, you're the killjoy on this one, aren't you? Which is why you didn't go and I went. And they were sensational wines. Really good producer who makes wine with passion. And he was welling up when he was telling the stories. He protects history with the way that he makes the wines. They're super fresh, nice acidity, nothing cloying.
And we do sell the Barbato wines
as
well.
And they sell
and these
very
are the
well
kind
at
of things
Portuguese
that,
tasting.
As well, if you don't buy them, they will stop making them at some point. So...
They are also the sort of thing, I thought, that lots of people have spirits on the counter, various things that are on the go, that are open. You can do that with Madeira. You can buy Madeira and have a little taste, a little aperitif or a little drink, just a glass, and then put the stopper back in and keep them, and they will survive.
In the fridge?
Or on the side, but better in the fridge, yes.
Okay, well,
yes.
Thanks for that.
Well, I don't think I got a lot of appreciation there, but... Welcome to my world.
It sounds like a very nice day out, and you weren't in too bad shape when you got home either.
Of course I wasn't, because I was working, Cassie. Really?
Yes.
I didn't even finish some of the glasses, and the people took it away because I thought I better not.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then I went and had 6 pints. I didn't.
Yeah, and then a bottle of wine when you got home. Anyway.
Go on.
So, seasonal foods.
This won't be as interesting as my story. Go on.
You're doing this as well.
Okay.
So, okay, let's start with mushrooms then, seeing as you had some mushroom.
Yep.
I
might not have actually had mushroom, but I think I did.
Oh, God. Was it all the wine that you drank? You can't remember.
Yeah, mushrooms, just as a season in general, it's great, isn't it? Because there's a lot of fruit in this country. There's a lot of autumnal fruit around. And the mushrooms, the fungi section is rich. Veg.
You're a fungi.
and meat as well.
Okay, well, I actually hadn't put any meat. I was going with mushrooms.
Okay.
So I was thinking, mainly because people are asking, are we going to get Beaujolais Nouveau in? We have quite a lot of Beaujolais, and Beaujolais tends to go really well with mushrooms. So does Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
So you get the earthy notes of Pinot Noir work really well with earthiness of mushrooms.
Yeah. Okay. You haven't asked me a question, but okay.
No, because we're discussing it and we're saying what pairs well with what.
I tell you what I like at the moment. Poppy Pinot Noir from California, around the 20 quid. Excellent value. It's got a little bit of earthiness in there, but also some juicy fruit. Very smooth, not too over the top, not super oaky. Dissonay from the south of France, but a bit more of a rustic, affordable option. And I really like, which is a bit of a wine that people don't always go for. I think we've got these both in stock. Bruno Sorg and Charles Frey Alsace Pinot Noirs.
We do have both.
I think they would work very well because they're not too heavy, but they have a lot of flavour. And sometimes that style of wine can be really thin and mean, but these aren't. They've got a little bit of spice to them as well. So I think they would be good options.
And we, with mushrooms as well, because I don't eat meat, so sometimes we're like, what can we create? Mushrooms are a really good substitute for meat, we find. So you can have, like, I'll do a mushroom burger sometimes, like a baked whole mushroom, which is good. And also lentils and mushrooms, so it's really finely chop lots of different kinds of mushrooms. So they're tiny, so it's a bit like mince, and use that as a kind of mince substitute, normally with lentils, to make a sort of, like, we've used it with chili and nachos type of thing. That can work really well.
I make a particularly good one of those, don't I must say, myself.
Because you have the patience to chop, whereas I don't.
Yes, because we make everything the same size, which is a good start. And you can add in your seasonings. And sometimes I add in some of your Japanese stuff, like a bit of teriyaki or some soy. And you can make it almost like it ends up like a ragu, but with thickened up with lentils. And I like it.
Yes, so
you
that's
can have it
nice.
On its own, actually.
But that's really nice with a nice Pinot or Beaujolais type wine.
And Beaujolais, we have the Tivan wines from Brewery, which is a cru Beaujolais, which are sensational, and they're not always around, so you need to get in there. And one called Piss Vier, a brewery as well, which is lovely, really vibrant, has a bit of grip to it. Oh, I tell you what would also be good, Julienard, Chateau de Beauregard. And that is 2005. It's an 8-year-old Beaujolais. So a lot of focus at the moment is on Beaujolais Nouveau, which is one that's been made really, really quickly. Drink it really, really quickly, as in when it arrives.
10 minutes.
People don't often realise that Beaujolais can age sensationally, and then it becomes more savoury, more
mushroomy.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Root
veg. There's loads of root veg around. Parsnips, I'm not sure about. I like them with some soy sauce and some honey in the oven.
You're quite particular about your snips, aren't you?
Yeah. Swede, not a fan. Turnips, no way.
No, it's celeriac there. Lovely.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. But butternut squash I do like. And that's, at the moment, there's butternut squash onions. And pumpkin.
Yes.
So it's coming up to Halloween, so pumpkins are around. And instead of wasting the inside of the pumpkin, you can make loads of stuff. I mean, typically it would be pumpkin soup. I'm not a fan of soup.
No, you're not a fan of a lot of things, really.
I don't like a liquid
meal.
I like solids.
Okay.
I can understand if you have soup with, like, cheese on toast with it. That seems like a more substantial meal, but not just a bowl of liquid for a meal. Well, anyway,
okay.
Roasted butternut squash, really nice.
Yes.
And that you can get, once you've got a load of nice olive oil on it and some seasoning and some herbs, it can be really creamy. And I can't have dairy, so we don't have butter. But you get the same sort of profile of the creamy, richer texture.
Yes.
And that could be really nice mashed up. And I think that works really well. I guess that Chardonnay would be a fairly obvious one because they tend to be oaked. But I was thinking probably a Viognier or a Gewürztraminer would work nicely with squash.
Yes.
So Gewürz is really aromatic. You get a lot of sort of lychee and rose petal, which sounds like it won't work. But if you had something like za'atar spice on your butternut squash or herbs and other things on the plate...
Chili flakes, anchos.
Yeah, then the Gewürz can work really nicely with those.
What you're doing there, I think, is what you're actually saying is, or referencing to, is a lot of these rooties, they have like a quite a sugary feel, don't they? They have a bit of sweetness on the root veg, especially when you roast them or bake them. And that gives it that sort of quite a rich mouthfeel, doesn't it? And
yeah, you can mash it up.
Gewürz also has that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And some of the richer Chardonnays have that. So you're matching like for like, aren't you?
Yes, a spiced wine with some spiced veg.
Yeah, you could also do, which I think you were going to point out, Torrontés, which is a great variety that's used.
That was what I was going with for pumpkin.
Okay, which is in Argentina. And there's one called the Amalaya, which is quite, it's not too full on. It can be... quite in your face, Torrontés, not my cup of tea.
He is very floral on
the nose.
A bit
like a Gewürztraminer, but has Amalaya has some nice acidity. Or the one that we've got in stock called Velisto, with a cool label, is delicious. That's very elegant.
The Amalaya is a blend of Torrontés and Riesling, which is really good pairing, I think, for pumpkin, because Riesling has got the good acidity, or a white Rhone blend. Would be great with pumpkin because
that's
you've got the Viognier and Grenache Blanc. Viognier, again, has got this sort of floral character. So these are, they're sort of aromatic, floral types of wines that I think work really nicely with these kind of veg.
And when you get them from the Rhone, they almost have like a nutty, honeyed, nutty characteristic to them, which I like.
Yeah, and we've got the Cicada in stock, which is really good value, like $10.99 or something.
$10.99, made by a really good... Chateauneuf du Pape producer called Domaine Chancegal. And if you bought a Chateauneuf du Pape white, that's like 30 quid north, isn't it? So, and this is $10.99 and it's delicious. It's really good and it looks really good because it's got like a little Jiminy Cricket on the label, isn't it?
Yeah, Cicada.
Indeed. Cicada, Cicada.
Cicada, isn't it? It's playing a little instrument.
But yes, so that I think that's the... That those combinations are quite warming and quite comforting, aren't they?
Yeah, for whites as well.
Yeah.
They're definitely more hearty.
Interesting on the parsnip as well, and which I had those on the plate. We also had at my research lunch parsnip and apple or parsnip and pear soup. Delicious.
Ooh.
So you're both seasonal. Both bring out a little bit of something within each other, if you get the combinations right. And we had those on the plate as well.
Yeah.
And I think we had some damsons as well.
No, I think they're only good for vodka.
Really?
and that leads on to apples, was the other thing, because we made a really good apple crumble recently. We went pillaging apples. Well, your mum gave us some apples
her
garden. And then we went for a walk with the dog and... found some apple trees, which we might have taken some from.
Yes.
Well, you took one off the tree and just ate it.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, if that hasn't killed you, it should be fine.
I never normally do that because...
Because you don't like stealing.
No, but you don't know whose it is, do you? But this is out in the wild, isn't it? And
yes,
they did look like apples that
in the middle of nowhere.
Eaten. But I always remember when we used to play football in my gran's back garden, and she had a load of fruit trees. It's quite a small garden, but the fruit trees made a great goal. And Dad,
she loved that.
Dad ate, he grabbed a pear off the tree and ate it, and in a massive mouthful, and it's full of ants.
Oh, so nice.
So that sort of scarred me a little bit. So I'm a bit tentative when I go in.
What was it, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty?
Well, yeah. And then he went all weird, and he's never been the same since.
She went to sleep forever.
But yeah, they were lovely. It was a good combination. His mum and new dad, they grow, well, they got them on all sorts of training systems, haven't they, in their little garden, and they were really tasty. They were quite sweet apples. I can't remember the
That was the amount. I used agave syrup.
And the ones from across the road on the downs were
eating apples,
weren't they? But they were eating apples.
I
don't
know, because I put a load of sweetener in. Yeah, but anyway, the crumble came out really nice. And we did a dairy-free one, so I just made it with dairy-free spread instead of butter and flour and sugar.
Yeah.
And then I ate all of the crumble and Henry ate all the apple.
Yeah.
With a load of vegan cream. I think I had a whole carton, actually.
Yeah.
It's very nice, it's comforting. So wine-wise, it lends itself to a sweet wine.
Yep.
Because you want to pick up the sweetness of all that sugar, and when you get the nice crispy brown sugar on the top where it bakes, it's nice crunchy bits of sugar. So sweet wine is ideal. Something like a Monbazillac or Sauterne.
Yes, which is a load of Semillon in there, giving you the honeyed fruit, matched up with a little bit of Sauvignon, which gives you acidity. So although it's a sweet wine, like the Domaine de Grange Neuve from Monbazillac, which neighbours Sauterne, not quite as prestigious and makes it a lot more affordable. We tried one of those the other day, didn't we, with Depot Cinema, hoping that they'll take it and put it on their list. And it was absolutely sensational. And we all sat there thinking, you can just drink this like wine.
Yes, you shouldn't be scared of sweet wines, because if you get a good one, it should be in balance. So you need to have good acidity in it, which keeps it fresh and not cloying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go to an independent and ask for a nice sweet wine. And they last as well, so you don't have to neck it all in one go. Stick it in the fridge and it should last a week.
Also works very good, well, as an aperitif or with cheese. And I think with the tatin sort of end of puddings, not so much the chocolate, though.
Yeah, blue cheese and stuff works well. The other thing I thought might work, we've got a vermouth in from Botanica Winery in South Africa, and we did a tasting with Ginny Povell, the winemaker, a few weeks ago.
Very nice, very nice.
The vermouth is really unusual. It's a Viognier-based vermouth, so it's quite aromatic and not quite as bitter as some.
It's a one-off production.
It's a batch. It was sort of an experimental batch, but it's come out really well. The label's gorgeous as well. The bottle looks lovely. And that was a real surprise. And that kind of thing would probably be really nice with apples.
Yeah, it's not super bitter.
Or pears, or those kind of fruits.
In with the apple as well.
Yeah, and if you're making tatin, you could definitely deglaze with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, Calvados as well is an excellent apple drink for this time of year.
I had one of those the other day, didn't I?
When?
After our anniversary lunch.
Oh, yeah.
Super smooth.
I had a shot of tequila.
Yeah.
That was a fun day.
I recommend it for you,
actually.
It's a fun day. I think that sort of takes the edge off you a little bit.
Well, I wasn't expecting it to come like that. It was a proper... We're in a nice restaurant, and it was covered like a proper salt rim and a lime. I thought it was just going to be a nice glass on ice. So it was an actual shot. Anyway, boshed it.
Good.
Right, so past foods, then I thought, what's happening this month and what things are in our calendar where we start thinking about wines and drinks and things that we might pair or promote around these different events. So obviously Halloween is coming up, which I obviously love because I'm a grown-up goth.
Yes. You were born for this, weren't you?
Yes, and it's my birthday soon.
What's the Adams family daughter called?
Wednesday,
okay. Just asking for a friend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely more Morticia.
Well, as you get older, yes.
Right.
Well, she was a hottie, though, wasn't she?
There's been loads of them. Anyway, they're cool.
And by my Uncle Festa, is that what you're talking about?
It suits you.
Yeah, mischief.
So we start promoting Halloween drinks. It's trick or treat night. You probably have got to walk around somewhere with your kids. You might want to have a nice drink when you get home.
Yeah, you could probably... It's a week, isn't it, really? I'm not... I wasn't into Bonfire Night because it's just an American creation. And why? What's the point? I know what the point is.
Bonfire Night?
Well, like the celebration...
Guy Fawkes.
Not Bonfire Night, sorry, Halloween. And the sort of, you know, we haven't got kids, so one should we be giving kids
no,
a load
but we
of
will
treats.
Spend the evening
but
keeping
now,
the animals
I think
safe.
It is pretty cool, and I have got a full devil onesie, and I'm into it.
You can't be with me and not be into Halloween.
But that Halloween sort of moves into Bonfire Night that week where people are out and about, aren't they? Even though it's autumnal, it's you're going to be out and about, aren't you? I think.
Yes. I remember when we used to do trick-or-treating as a kid, and it was basically put a bin liner on, use some marzipan to put warts on your face, and those plastic fingers, like witch's fingers, and that was what we used to wear, and that was it. Or paint your face green with some marzipan on, and then go and knock around at the old people's home.
I've seen some of your university pictures, and it wasn't dissimilar. Your get-up then, was it?
Really?
So what are you thinking with the wines here?
Well,
then?
There's loads of options for cocktails.
Options, aren't there?
Yeah, like spooktacular drinks.
Skull vodka, some of that left. We've got Drink Me Red from
sure
the Douro, which has got a load of vampire things on the labels.
Yes, bears, witches and wizards. We've got loads of wines with bears on.
I didn't know they were Halloween, but they will go with it because it's a delicious wine.
You've watched all of these things. You've watched True Blood. You know that there's shapeshifters and all sorts of animal things going on. Wolves. Okay. So we've got the Loyan wolf wine with the full moon on it.
That's very nice. No sulphur.
Anyway, so it was kind really of good. Leading me into the biodynamic, which is basically witchcraft in wine. So we have lots of wines that are made biodynamically.
Yes, so that's following the Rudolf Steiner farming system set up, I don't know, almost 100 years ago probably. And that's...
It follows the lunar cycles.
Following your lunar cycle.
And they do certain practices, all very holistically, all very naturally, depending on the moon cycle, depends on what they're doing that day in their harvesting.
Yes.
So there's root days and leaf days and flower days and...
Dictates when you might plant, when you might harvest, when you might...
And they put lotions and potions into the soil,
yes,
which are all natural.
The point of it is mainly the gist, the nub, is to get life into the soil.
Which produces life and good fruit.
The best way to do that, which we were watching a little bit about on that, The Biggest Little Farm, weren't we?
Netflix.
Is creating or protecting a biodiversity, nature's own system. And once you've got that in balance, everything takes care of itself.
Yeah, so you don't use chemicals. You let nature run itself. So you have natural pests that will come and eat the other pests that are eating the leaves and the fruit. And
yeah, you don't have machinery in the vineyard because that impacts
the soil.
So you might have little animals. You might have animals ploughing. You might have small sheep or pigs grazing in between.
Yeah, to eat all the stuff at the bottom.
A bit of fertilizer off the back of that.
It is kind of like witchcraft, but it works, and we have a lot of biodynamic wines, and we don't look for these things because they're biodynamic. They're just very well-made wines, and also we like sustainability. We want to promote sustainability, so anything where they're not chucking chemicals at anything, which counts for all of our wines, is a positive thing, and we want low impact on the environment.
And what they don't do, which I think you said once, is sacrifice a virgin and bury them in the vineyard.
I didn't
That's
say that.
That's not true.
I did not say that.
Or is it?
But it's, they're worth seeking out. And it doesn't mean you get weird wines. Like, loads of wines are biodynamic.
Talking of weird, I tell you what is a delight, and it's really good for this time of year, and I think that would be good with venison, actually, when I'm just thinking about it, is the Bear Cub wine from America, from Kyle MacLachlan. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Who was in the superstar in Twin Peaks. Amazing. And that's pretty spooky.
And June. Weird. And Desperate Housewives.
They're not so spooky. But Twin Peaks is. So that was my link.
It was good.
Cabernet-based wine, just utterly delicious. It's quite concentrated, but it's so elegant, so fine.
We did do an Instagram video about the Bear Cub, actually, if you wanted to check it out.
Yeah,
Butler's Wine Cellar Instagram. And Carl McLaughlin commented on it because he loved it.
Brilliant.
I think he said I was the next David Lynch.
You look like him. So,
so does your mum.
What's also fun is to carry around a few hip flasks, isn't it, when you're out and about?
I got you a hip flask and you said, why have you got me this?
I'm not going to take a martini around with me, am I?
You're not going to take that anywhere in a hip flask.
But I think now that it's more hip flask weather on a walk, and always a little bit of a lucky dip when somebody brings out a creme de menthe in one.
That's all right, and a hot chocolate.
Like a Russian roulette, isn't
that's
it?
That's quite nice.
Actually, a green chartreuse on a walk.
You want a bourbon, nice, really, but that's, you can stick it in coffee and hot chocolate.
Yeah, that's nice, isn't it, when you're out on a little walk?
Anyway, the next thing that's going to come up before our next podcast is Bonfire Night.
Okay.
Which you've already alluded to and said that it's not, it's rubbish. Yeah. It is a British thing. It's Guy Fawkes.
I meant Halloween, as you well know. Don't hang me out.
And that's basically, when I think of Bonfire Night, I think bourbon, I think campfires, and I think whiskey, and I think sitting around a campfire, toasting marshmallows, drinking bourbon.
Yes, we'd never actually do that, but we...
We made s'mores, which you didn't like.
No.
But we do like bourbon. We don't have any fireworks near us. And I'm more worried about the animals. So if you've got pets, make sure that they're safe on firework night because they don't like it.
This is quite a broad church, this podcast, isn't it? We've got a lot to get off our chests.
We didn't do one last month because it was crazy busy.
I love bourbon. And it's really nice when you go, when you find a bar. There are a couple in Brighton. Should we name them? I suppose we could. The Black Dove and the Great Eastern, who have a lot of really good quality bourbons on their back shelf. And it's nice. I love them. And especially if you just have one with a beer, you can have that, can't you?
So
you've got
a
big, punchy, intense flavour. And like everything else, I think if you get proper ones, they're balanced, aren't they?
Yeah. And the wine that we've got in stock, which I thought would be very apt for Bonfire Night, is called the Whole Shebang. Bang.
Okay, she bangs.
No, it's not Ricky Martin. Okay. It's about bang in the fireworks.
Is it?
Anyway, it's Californian and it's very nice.
Right, where do you stand on the mulled wines then? Because that rubbish is out and about.
People keep asking us for wine to mull. Can you get cheap wine to mull? Like, we're not going to buy any cheaper wine than we already sell just to mull it, because it's still rubbish wine and it's still going to make you feel ill if you have lots of it.
Yes, to mull it or not to mull it.
No, so I recommend just getting a fairly half-decent wine that you're going to drink anyway. And our cheapest wines are $7.49. So it's not crazy money. And you should be paying that if everyone's paying their tax and duty properly. They're decent wines.
You can also, people think you have to use red, but you can also use white for a lighter style. And obviously there's cider around it. Cider.
Yes, mulled cider is my new thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a go at this. So there's a couple of recipes I looked up. One of them was with cider, cinnamon sticks and bourbon, which I thought that sounds quite nice.
Yeah, maybe this weekend.
Or the other one is mulling apple juice with Calvados, cinnamon and cloves.
That sounds nice.
So I thought these could be things you could make on a small batch rather than a big scale. If you're having a big party, a bonfire night, go with the mulled wine, I guess.
Yeah.
But mulled cider, I think, could be something a bit different and a bit new and a bit cool. So impress your friends with some mulled cider.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I know. And surround it with apples. You could do a whole display with apples, apple crumble, Calvados. Oh, check it out.
What we won't do now, but we'll probably do this maybe on the next podcast, which is also coming up.
Christmas.
Before that, Thanksgiving. I know it's not our thing, but it gives us a chance to talk about the amazing Californian wines. And we will be trying some new ones shortly, won't we?
A huge range.
I think we did quite well there, considering.
Yes. So, have a very good October, everyone. Happy Halloween. Have a good and safe bonfire night. And we'll be back in November.
I'll tell you what not to do in October.
Oh,
bloody Stoptober. What the sweet bit.
Judging by our takings yesterday, yeah, it's like everyone stopped drinking.
What should we do? Just close our shop? Amazing.
No, support independence and keep drinking something or come and buy some tinned fish.
Buy less, but have better.
Yes.
Come and buy a load of tinned fish. Several thousand pounds worth per week, please. Thank you very much.
I'd be happy with that. Anyway, happy right, Halloween.
Then. Yeah, and all of that.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you got all that. Doodle pip.